The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm excited about today's show. We're going to be talking about keys to a lasting, happy marriage. And I'm interviewing my husband, John Rolfe, because we've had a very long-lasting, happy marriage, and it's continuing to grow. So with no signs of slowing down in the divorce rate, it's no wonder young people are jaded in their expectations about marriage. With TV reality shows focusing on trouble even before the wedding, it's hard to be optimistic about the challenges couples will face with careers, children, layoffs, vacations, where to live, what to eat, what to buy, what bills to pay first. My guest is my husband, John Rolfe. We've been sharing our lives for several decades and have found great riches in our relationship no matter what stage we're in. Some years ago, we wrote a book together called The Affirmations Book for Sharing, and that was to help couples to discuss any issue that can arise in their life together. John is an outspoken advocate for the effort it takes for a couple to really build a life together which they can truly enjoy year after year and day after day. John's a lawyer and artist and speaker and writer and has a new book out as well. I'll talk briefly about that. And he's going to share his insights about the keys to a happy, successful, lasting marriage. And let me tell you a little more about John before we start. He's a former Philadelphia lawyer who's now pursuing his speaking, writing, and artistic careers. As an attorney, he helped hundreds of entrepreneurs to grow their businesses and hundreds of families to plan their estates. A graduate of the Wharton School and the University of Pennsylvania Law School, he married his college sweetheart, me, and together they have a son and a daughter now grown. They've experienced two extremes of lifestyle as young suburban couple, both Philadelphia lawyers, and then as homesteaders, rebuilding an old farmhouse and living off the land. John has always held his marriage commitment in high priority. He's author of his new book, America's First Entrepreneur, about his ancestor, John Rolfe, who historians agree single-handedly saved the first successful English colony in the Americas. He's also author with me, his wife, of a book by our cat, Princess Buttercup the Cat's Cross Country Road Trip Number 3. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. So let's just start out by asking, how did you first become interested in how to nurture a long-lasting, happy marriage?
Well, we'd had a long courtship, about 3.5 years, and where we spent a lot of time together, because I met you when I was a senior in college and you were a freshman, and I went to law school at the University of Pennsylvania, and you were an undergraduate at the University of Pennsylvania. So we spent a lot of time together during those 3.5 years, and I saw how much time it took, and I saw that... Well, I guess it was a little later after we were married, and I was actually practicing law. I saw how many lawyers ended up in divorce. You know, the bigger firms, particularly the bigger firms where they work longer and longer hours, those marriages frequently didn't last. And you know, it made me think about what to do to make it last.
That makes a lot of sense. watching others, I think, and all the time we spent talking before we made the commitment. Any special influences from your childhood or your legal career when you were practicing that increased your commitment to building a good marriage?
Well, my parents were married their entire lives. I guess when my mother died, they'd been married 67 years, and it was, of course, their first marriage for each. In those days, women often didn't work outside the home, at least after the Second World War, and she quit her job when she got married and never worked, and so she was always at home. And so they intended to have a lifetime marriage, and they did. And so that was the example I had seen. And then when I got into law practice, I started seeing divorces. And as a young lawyer, I handled a couple divorces, and, boy, they were very unpleasant. I decided I really didn't want to do that. But the thing I already mentioned, that seeing what happened to the lawyers, that a lot of them got divorced, and it didn't necessarily take all that long. You know, it's like, wait a minute, we got to think about what's going on here. Why is this happening? And so I started thinking about it. I guess that's one of my strengths and weaknesses. Both of them are pretty cerebral type. You know, I think about things.
Well, I think that's a good thing. So what drew you to decide to write the book on daily readings for couples, the Affirmations book for sharing that we wrote together? That's quite a commitment. What drew you to do that book?
Well, we've been married for a while, and we've been successful, and we saw marriages falling apart all around us, left and right, friends and acquaintances, and so we thought maybe you know, that we actually did spend time every day talking and, in effect, affirming our commitment and our love. And we thought that perhaps that was the era when affirmations books were a big deal. And we thought, well, you know, an affirmation book about success is one thing, but what about success in your marriage? You know, we have some experience with that. And so we thought that we could share some of our insights and successes with daily affirmations that would help a couple, even if they weren't married, but particularly, you know, a committed couple.
I love the way you explained that. Thank you. So what do you think is the single most challenging issue then for couples today to preserve and grow their marriages? Can you pinpoint, you know, what's the core issue?
Well, it's hard to come up with one, but I think I'd have to label it priorities. What is your priority? Is it your job or is it your relationship? And today I see a lot of people that the priority is the job rather than the relationship. And it starts, today you see it starts even before marriage, so that people won't get married until they're successful in their jobs. And I know that we and people in our, when we were married, you got married before you had job success. You got married right out of college or right out of law school or something, you know, before you were successful financially, and you built a life together. Here, people expect to have their financial success, their home, their cars, their everything, all in place before they get married. And then, you know, well, there is, it seems to be a problem. You know, you find people that, it seems much more common today than it used to be for people to live in different cities and be married, or to, really not consider so much, you know, to be really focused on the job more than the relationship. I think that's the biggest single issue today.
That's interesting. So just the priorities being putting their marriage in a high priority for time and effort. It makes a lot of sense.
They don't, in many cases.
Right. So yesterday the news had the shortest marriage in the public forum, 18 days. With divorce so common and young people seeing that kind of example and taking weddings are a big deal, but divorces happen so often. What do you believe are they missing out on? What are the costs for those whose marriages don't last?
Yeah, well, that's interesting, Sinead O'Connor's 18-day thing. well, today, a lot of people seem to be focused on they really want to have a wedding. They don't really seem to be all that concerned about the marriage. But anyhow, the costs, well, I think you've got emotional costs, you've got financial costs, and if the marriage doesn't last, then you know, what are you focusing on? What are you distracted by? You know, you've got, when the marriage breaks up, people are emotional basket case, and of course it costs them financially, and then as it's after it's broken up, then what do they focus on? What are their priorities? Are they totally distracted from everything because things didn't work? They lose faith in relationships and life and people, and you know, it's really a difficult thing.
Yeah, that loss of faith, particularly, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's it's not just that you've lost that particular partner, it's that you were hoping for something that didn't work out, so there's a great disappointment there.
So there,
of course, the costs of divorce, and everybody knows that can be quite a burden, but there are those lasting effects that can really make a difference and affect future relationships. So I want to talk about, so what is the upside, the major benefits of having a long-lasting marriage? And we're coming up on a break, so we'll just get started on that conversation. So what do you see are the major benefits?
Well, some of the benefits that I've gotten have been, I've had major support from my wonderful wife, emotionally and otherwise. You get an emotionally good relationship. We've got stability, got great sex. Well, I mean, people think they have that without a marriage, but it's even better when you're in a very committed relationship. It has more meaning. Let's see.
Well, let's take our break now, and that's a good segue to come back on meaningful sex life. So do hang in there, and let's hear more from John Rolfe on the keys to lasting marriage.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news. and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with John Rolfe, who's a retired Philadelphia attorney and is now pursuing his speaking, writing, and artistic careers. He's the author of the new book, America's First Entrepreneur, about his ancestor, John Rolfe, who saved the first successful English colony in America. So that's very exciting. And today, since he's my husband, I invited him to talk about keys to lasting marriage, which we certainly have enjoyed our marriage so far and only have good things to look forward to. So we were talking about the major benefits of having a long-lasting marriage, and John has talked about the emotional support and just the stability and having a really good sex life, but a meaningful sex life as well. And can you expound a bit on those major benefits of having a marriage that lasts a lifetime, John?
Sure. But first I want to say that, you know, this is, the next to last day of the year. So I think it's a great time to be talking about this because it may inspire people to do some, make some New Year's resolutions and do some things differently in the new year.
Good idea.
To the topic, some of the benefits, talking about an emotionally deep relationship and tremendous support from the other person. The longer it is, at least if you stay connected and grow in the same direction, which I think is important, then you get that a deeper emotional relationship, you get more support, you got stability so that, you can pursue the other things in your life as well. Not that you can pursue them without taking care of your relationship. You need to do that. But, it's really, everything grows deeper.
That's a good way to put it. So what would you say are the keys to a successful marriage that lasts?
Well, over the years, the one I've talked about most is commitment. And communication. And in addition to those, I think expectation is really important. What do you expect to happen? Do you expect to get divorced? Do you expect to stay married for the rest of your life? I think it's also important to be best friends. If your best friends are your girlfriends or your buddies you play video games with or something, I don't know how it's going to last. You know, it might last as an economic relationship, but I don't know if it's going to last as a love relationship. I think it's what you focus on. Commitment is extremely important. You got to be totally committed to your relationship and expect it to last. And you've really got to communicate. And I find that daily communication is really important. I know people are busy, but you need to find some time every day to talk with each other just about any old thing and certainly any family issues, the kids or your relationship or anything, or even just about what's going on in the world, just so that you are on the same page with some things.
Yeah, that's a good point. So when information is coming in and you're hearing stories about the world, about the country, about your local community, you still can share your emotional response to that, so that your partner can be on the same page as you say. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about commitment, communication, expectation, friendship, and actually focusing on the relationship. When do you think couples should start thinking about these different aspects of their marriage?
Well, certainly well before marriage and during the dating. And I guess when you start getting serious, because that's when you want to find out if you're compatible in these ways. It's shocking to me that people get married and then divorced within a couple of years. I mean, it just seems to me that you should have been able to figure that one out beforehand. You know, you shouldn't have bothered with, I mean, I know the party for the wedding is important. You know, you really want to have that big wedding and all those pictures, but, you know, it's not that important. You know, you want to, at least I don't think it is. I can't imagine that it is. You got to think about these things and really look into it and see if it's the right person. Because the big event without the right person, it's kind of silly.
So you might be dating someone who thinks that once you're married, you don't have to communicate anymore.
or
that they can rely on the vows and never exhibit any particular commitment beyond that.
Right. And today, I mean, I don't know if it's really true, but when you see some of these shows on TV and all, the once you're engaged, the woman seems to get with her mother and spend all her time with her mother planning the thing, and the guy's like, now what do I do? Well, I guess I got to go deal with, you know, back to my buddies and we'll do other things. So they start separate lives, and it's like, wait a minute. Aren't they trying to do this together? Don't they want to spend time together? Why are they separating before they're even married? And then they have the big party a year or two later, and big wedding, and then they don't really the only thing that's been going on in the meantime is occasional sex, and then they don't have that much in common. I mean, at least that's the way it looks. I don't know if it's really like that, but when you see so many quick divorces, probably is.
It does look like they must not have really explored their basic philosophies of life or their basic philosophies of marriage.
Right.
So how important is it then for the couples to talk about these key elements before the wedding?
Well, in my view, that if you want to be successful in a long-term marriage, it's incredibly important. You know, it's essential. You got to do it.
So what kind of dialogue should a husband or wife entertain after the marriage to solidify and reinforce these keys? Or can they just kind of sit back and trust the marriage to take care of itself?
Well, in my view, you ought to be the best friend of your spouse. And that means talking every day about some things. You know, you're not always talking about the marriage. But you're talking about, and everything you talk about brings you somewhat closer together because you're sharing a perspective, you're sharing your life. You know, maybe I'm talking about the things I'm doing as an artist or what I'm writing about, and maybe you're talking about what you're doing, which is in a totally different field and about the experiences you've had. But we're sharing, and we're, you know, understanding and building something together. We're understanding each other and getting closer and deeper emotionally and supporting each other. And so I think it's really important to talk every day for, you know, some time. And we've been extreme, but I think we've averaged, maybe at least an hour a day and maybe two. You know, sometimes you don't get hardly any, but then you'll spend all Saturday morning or all, you know, something like that, just talking about things. And sometimes you don't go to bed when you expect to because you end up talking for a a long, long time. But it's really important, I think.
Right, right. And certainly something I read in high school, which I thought was such a good rule, was to never go to bed angry and to never hold grudges against your spouse. So if something's bothering you, you just need to deal with it right away before it builds into something emotional that you just can't deal with.
Absolutely. You taught me that, and I think it's been extremely important. If you got a problem, you argue about something, you get upset, you yell or whatever, which I do from time to time, and it's important to get over it and get back to a normal relationship within the next hour or two, if possible. But certainly before you go to bed, but as soon as possible, you know, get over it and apologize. You know, see what's going on, and sometimes it seems hard. Maybe it's takes more than an hour. Maybe it takes three, but you got to do it, and you can't move on with your life until that's taken care of. Otherwise, you know, your relationship's going to really suffer, and it may end. And that's one of the things I think I see today, that a lot of people, they have a fight, and that's it. They decide, oh, it's over. You know, they're not really willing to spend the time and energy to work it out. It takes a lot of work to make a marriage work because you're different people. And if you're really attracted to each other, you're quite different people. I mean, one of the books that you wrote is called The Four Temperaments, and it's about the different types of people and who's attracted to who. And I'm attracted to you because you're not exactly the same as me. You're a different type of person. But we complement each other, and the things that excite me about you are different than the way I am, and vice versa, I believe. And,
yes.
It's not like we're the same, and we are going to have conflicts because of that difference, and you have to recognize that there's going to be conflicts, and you don't just give up the first conflict. You try and learn from it and grow from it. And I think, you know, you're one of the world's experts in the four temperaments, and your book is fantastic. I've heard this stuff from you for 20 years before you wrote the book, and then but I learned a lot from the book, and
thank
I still
you.
Refer to it because it's fantastic, and it really helps.
Thanks. I love what you said about, you know, talking every day brings you closer. So even if you have a disagreement, the process of working it through and understanding each other better, as you said, it will tend to bring you closer and make the marriage even stronger. But if you run from it because, oh, we disagree, we can't see eye to eye on something, and you take that as a negative, you don't learn anything from it. It just weakens the relationship.
Right.
There's a recent study from the University of Virginia concluded that small, frequent acts of generosity towards one's spouse is as good a predictor as any of whether the spouses they interviewed report that they are, quote, very happy in their marriage. Is that bringing home a card or some flowers or pushing in your spouse's chair? I guess that would be the man pushing in the woman's chair, or cooking his favorite soup or whatever. Can these behaviors be learned? I think in the culture, people think, well, that's not something I do. They just think they're born with it or not. Is it something that people can learn if they're really committed to making their marriage work?
Well, I think so. I think there's a lot of things you can learn in life, and that's one of them. I mean, I learned about flowers. When I grew up, I grew up in a culture where you certainly didn't buy and give perishable things. You gave things that would last. And flowers, like, they only last a few days, a week at the most, you know? And it was like, give flowers? That's crazy. But when I see the effect they have on you or other women, people really appreciate them. And part of the reason they appreciate them is because they are transient. You know, they are impermanent. That you're showing that you really care. I mean, I didn't think about this until afterwards, and I'm wondering, why the heck do they like these things so much? Because it's just going to die in a, you know, in less than a week. It's because it's impermanent. It's like it's a real show of love and appreciation to spend money on something that's not going, or to pick them or whatever it is. But you know, you did something that showed you cared. One of the things, you know, you can do these little things like you talked about, pushing in a chair, opening doors, those kind of things if you're a man, and women can do little special things. One of the things that we've done throughout our marriage is that we celebrate our wedding every month. We were married on the 15th of the month, and we celebrate every 15th. And typically we'll have champagne. And to acknowledge and celebrate our relationship every month. So we've done that for years. And, you know, when I was doing estate planning as a lawyer, one of the questions you ask people is, you know, what's the date of your marriage? You know, because you need to have that for the estate planning and stuff. And a lot of people didn't even know what the myth is that the man doesn't know, but a lot of times the women didn't know either. You know, they weren't sure what month, what day, what year. At least one of them, sometimes both of them. And, you know, people really, when I tell people that we celebrate every month, that they can't imagine it. They don't even celebrate every year. But I think you have, and to me, it's valuable to show that your relationship is important and that your marriage is important. I've always thought that there were three parties to a marriage. There's the woman, there's the man, and there's the marriage relationship. So that you've got to honor all three, and you've got to, you know, think of all three, not just you and me, you know, because you can go one direction and I can go the other, but what about this third thing, our marriage relationship? If we don't think about that, we could just go off in different directions and forget about it. But if we care about our marriage relationship, we have to think of that almost as a separate entity and value it and do what's necessary for it.
That's a great concept. Yeah. Yes, yes, it certainly does. And I myself have wondered, like, you know, why is it why is it so exciting to get a dozen roses? But you put it so well. It just feels good. How would you suggest that a spouse bring up a conversation if they're not used to having this kind of regular communication? You know, in the movies they say, oh, we need to talk, and everybody gets really uncomfortable and anxious. Is there a better way to start a communication?
Well, for the daily talking, I think you just need to have some time together and just talk about whatever. But if you're going to talk about issues, one of the things I've learned, which I didn't know in the beginning, was to talk about your own feelings. Like, I feel like, you know, whatever is happening, or I feel uncomfortable about such and such and such and such, and I would like not to feel this way, I'd like to such and such, you know, and how do you feel? You know, talk about feelings, but I wouldn't go with we need to talk, because that's kind of like da 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 da. It's like you know, this is, we're talking about ending things or something like that. It's not that at all. It's just the normal communication of a relationship, and in general, it doesn't need any preamble at all. It's just, you know, you're talking. But if you had a special issue, you want to talk about your feelings. And rather than accusing the other person of, you know, and I've done that too, but I've tried to learn over the years, instead of accusing the other person of doing something, about talk about, well, I felt pretty bad when you did such and such, or I felt pretty bad about the such and such situation, or I didn't like so and so, or you know, and I don't like feeling like that. Blah blah blah. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, that's great advice, because it's so easy to get into, you know, the blame game instead of just sharing who you are at the moment, why that you're feeling a certain way, and you want to change that, and maybe the other person can help. How important is the environment in the home? I know your art is colorful, imaginative, and very uplifting, positive. How important is it that couples actually surround themselves and their marriage with things that make them feel upbeat and make them feel good?
Well, I think it's important to have an environment that you feel comfortable in, that's uplifting to you, restful. You know, it doesn't need to be so loud and colorful that you're jittery all the time or anything like that. But I see a lot of places where there's, you know, just white walls, nothing on the walls. There's just plain furniture and piles of junk here and there. You know, you can't, in my view, you can't really feel comfortable in a situation like that. It's like everything's kind of in the, you know, a little bit of a mess. And nothing's beautiful. I think beauty is an important concept, and I guess I might have learned that from you. But I intuitively, as an artist, I had that. But beauty, you know, if you have beauty on your walls or anywhere, you know, it makes you feel better. I think it's really important to have that kind of thing, and to me, beauty is generally uplifting. I don't think things that are negative are beautiful. There are certain artists who think that. I just disagree with that. I don't really see a place in my home for dark, negative kinds of art or other things. I want things that make you feel good and make you feel better and brighten you up. I mean, you know, bright colors brighten you up. it's very clear. Any study, you know, there's been millions of studies that have shown that kind of thing. So you want to have bright, uplifting things, and you also want it to be restful, you know, so you can feel supported and comforted and have an environment that's a refuge from all the pressures and stress of the world.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. John, we're up on another break, so we're going to come back and talk some more about how health and lifestyle can affect the marriage. We're speaking with John Rolfe, who's a retired lawyer and also a happy long-term husband.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.TotalTutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with John Rolfe, who's a retired Philadelphia attorney pursuing his speaking, writing, and artistic careers. He's the author of the new book, America's First Entrepreneur, and we're speaking with him today about keys to a lasting marriage, because he and I have had a wonderful lasting marriage so far, and so I wanted to interview him about his thoughts of what makes it work. We wrote the book together. Well, we helped our cat write the book, Princess Buttercup, The Cat's Cross Country Road Trip Number 3. And it was a lot of fun. And I wanted to ask you, how important is it that couples play together and share adventures in their lives?
Well, I think it's important. I think you want to grow together and not apart. And it's very easy for, particularly in today's culture, for the guy to get into golf and football and video games and, you know, going out with the guys, and the lady to get into, girls' nights out and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you spend all your time apart and about doing all kinds of different things, and then you drift apart and the marriage, you know, falls apart. But if you do things together, find some things that you enjoy. I mean, as an artist, you know, I like going to museums a lot more than you do. I mean, you like going to museums, but you don't like to go to as many as I do. And, you know, and things like that, there's things that you like that I don't like as much. You're more social than I am. I'm more, you know, I'm happy to, you know, I'm willing to stay, you know, to do things more or less solo or small group. You'd rather have a lot of people around. So, I mean, it's, we have different perspectives, but we each accommodate each other. And having adventures together, I think it's wonderful traveling together. The book we wrote with our cat was about cross-country travel, and we've done it with our cat. The book was her cross-country road trip number 3, which was the third time she went across the country. It was actually our eighth time that we drove across the country, because we bought a house in California as well as the house we have in Pennsylvania, and we wanted to go back and forth and spend time in both places. So after flying many times for short periods, we decided we were going to spend longer periods, and we didn't want to leave our cat for long periods. And you can take a cat on a plane, but it's a pain. And so we decided to drive, and it's been a lot of fun. This is a wonderful country, and the things you see in a trip, the adventure of a trip like that is amazing. And you know, you just wouldn't imagine that you'd get such a perspective on America by, you know, basically being on the road. You do, of course, stop, but you get a great perspective, and it's been really fun.
And brings new experiences into the marriage relationship and lots of fun. Yes.
Yeah.
So how important is health and lifestyle? You're talking about driving across country. Some people will say, I couldn't possibly spend 10 hours in the car with my spouse. And that's their choice. But how important is taking care of health and lifestyle, sleep, nutrition, whatever, in keeping a marriage happy and long-lasting?
Well, the people that say they couldn't spend a day in a car with their spouse, if it's not for health, you know, if it's because they can't stand their spouse, gee, that says something. And you wonder why they're still together. But health-wise, to me, we've both been healthy most of our lives, and we've worked very hard to do that. If you're not healthy, it's hard to be happy. I mean, you're in pain or something, you know, you're not very happy with your life. And the person that's the caretaker or the one that's not sick, I mean, they can't be too happy about it. You know, I mean, it's like, it's an extra stress on them. Like they already have enough to deal with, but then now they have to deal with, you know, the other one can't really participate in the relationship the way they used to. So it's got to be a real strain on a marriage. So if you're not healthy and if you're not living a lifestyle that you want, it's got to be a real strain on the marriage, and it could be the downfall of it. I know people believe they should stay together, and I do too, you know, if somebody gets sick. But it's not going to necessarily be a happy time.
Right, right. So you would recommend doing what you can to stay healthy.
Right, right. That's we've worked very hard at trying to stay healthy. We've done all kinds of things like eating organic foods and not using toxic chemicals in our house and things like that. We've done for decades, and it's really paid off in health. We don't, we don't take non-prescription drugs or even prescription drugs. We don't need those things. We do all the, you know, kind of believe in nature that, people used to believe nature knows best and really does if you give it a chance. And you know how if you get a cut, it heals? Well, gosh, you didn't need surgery for that. Nature healed it. You didn't need a drug. It healed it, you know, and that's the way your body wants to act about everything. And, you know, you got to give it the rest and the raw materials. Years ago, there was a saying that you are what you eat, and people made fun of it. But basically, you know, your body remakes itself, remakes certain tissues every few minutes. It remakes the longest lasting tissues in your body every 7 years. So what you put into your body is the building blocks of what's being remade. If you're putting junk in there, you're much more likely to end up with junk as a product. You know, if you put in high quality things, you're much likely, more likely to end up with a high quality body. So anyhow, you do have some control over what happens to your health and to your body over time by the way you treat it.
Yeah, that can be an area of real disagreement in a family. Either they have different approaches to health and lifestyle, or they have the same approach, but one of them decides they want to go a little further with preventive health. And that's one of those times when they really need to talk and try to help the other guy catch up, or at least give each other space to grow in the same direction. It can be hard.
Right. But a lot of that could have been taken care of before you got married. You know, you should have explored those things when you were dating and figured out what your, you know, if you agreed or not, and if you didn't agree, it might be a deal breaker.
Yes, could be at the beginning. So yeah. How important do you think romance and passion are for sustaining a marriage? Because some people say, oh, it gets like an old shoe. I don't really believe that.
Well, I think they're very important. Well, I told the story a little while ago about the celebrating our anniversary every month with champagne and all. That's pretty romantic. And I mean, I try to be romantic, and I know you try to be romantic all the time because, I think passion is important. I think romance is important to keep it fresh and keep us wanting what we've got and more. If it becomes old hat. I mean, I see people where it's old hat, and it looks like they don't care if they're together or not. And sometimes it looks like they prefer that they weren't. But I don't feel that way. I mean, I enjoy every day with my wife, and I enjoy every minute. You know, we don't always agree with about everything, but we enjoy talking about it, and we enjoy the things that we get to do. Now, you know, we get to do a lot of things, and the romance and the passion are really important, and it leads to a wonderful sex life, and that's really important, I think, because it really brings you closer together emotionally. I know a lot of people think you don't need love to have sex, and you don't, but sex is, I think, much more rewarding if you do have love.
I agree. So we only have a few minutes left, John, but as a lawyer as well as a husband in a long-term marriage, so many people today are concerned about their finances, and it's harder than ever for middle-class families to make it, and the statistics always say that many marriages could be saved with an extra $300 or $400 a month. So how can couples deal with their different approaches to money and spending when they end up arguing about how much they can spend on Christmas, or whether you should buy, fix the car or plan a vacation, or buy the kids new shoes? The disagreements between couples often peak in financial discussions. So what's your advice for couples to get past some of those tough situations?
Well, those can be very difficult. I certainly don't want to minimize that, but making those choices, you really have to look at your priorities and prioritize together. And there's always things in a marriage where, you would think that I don't need to spend money on something that I'm doing, and I would think the same of you, that you don't need to do that, but you think you do, and I think I do for ourselves. So you have to be tolerant and try and keep your mouth shut, which I'm not always good at, but I know that I shouldn't say anything, and I know that when I do, I regret it. I have to apologize for it, because it's really not my business what you're spending your money on. But, and we're different people, and we have different priorities. And my spending priorities would be different than yours. Now, in our common sphere, we really need to get together and agree on, what are our priorities for those things.
Okay, well, we just have a minute or two left, John. So I want to be sure and get information out where people can learn about your new book and check out your websites. And so what are the best ways to contact you?
Well, I have a website for my book, America's First Entrepreneur. It's www.americasfirstentrepreneur.com. AmericasFirstEntrepreneur.com. And also JohnLRolf.com. Those are the best ways. There's contact information there and information about the book. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, e-book or physical book, whatever you prefer.
Okay, great. And so to close, do you have any last tips about these wonderful keys: commitment, communication, expectation, friendship, tolerance, and priorities? I love that.
Well, I think the priorities is really important. I think it's also important to do things together. Once you get, we're in an empty nest stage, and you really need to do things together. And we're having a lot of fun doing things together. Now we have a place in California. We do a lot of things together. We go to wineries and car shows and things like that in California. and as well as the things we do here. And,
so, well, thank you so much for being my guest on Family First, and let's invite all couples to make more fun together in the new year and have happiness and success. And thanks again, John, for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.